Thank you very much. It's lovely to have you here with us, Irma, and you've done a lot of wonderful work to help me and to Duncan as well. But we're here to hear what you've got to tell us about how God has worked in your life, please.
Well, I somehow don't feel very much talking into that mic. So, well, thank you very much for inviting me here. I would like to thank you all for the all good work that you have enabled to do in Latvia and in my own life. I understand you want me to tell you something about myself and my experience of grace. I am a Latvian, but I was born in Russia. I was the daughter of a Red Army serviceman who was repressed during the Stalin time. He was rehabilitated when he volunteered to go and fight fascism in the Second World War. After the war, we came to Latvia, and I went to a Latvian school, but then I went to study English at the Moscow Institute of Foreign Languages. My husband was Russian-speaking, my daughter married a Russian, and I live with them at present. So I am bilingual in Russian and Latvian. I am, as it were, caught between the two worlds, Russian and Latvian. Like everyone in the Soviet Union, I was raised under the dogmas of Marxism, of atheism, and materialism. I wasn't a religious person. I had accepted communism as a system in which there is no private property and goods are held in common and available to all as needed. And I had heard people say, and it seemed to be common knowledge, that the moral code of the Communist Party was practically based on the Bible. But I have to say, I didn't think deeply about it. I was busy with life, raising my daughter, and working at the university in Riga teaching English. I noticed there were some students who were marked by the authorities as believers, the subtext being you have to be stricter with them. I wondered about it, but I don't think there was any discrimination in our faculty. But again, I didn't think deeply about it. As you probably know, in 1991, Latvia broke away from the Soviet Union, and Soviet power in Latvia came to an end. Then I saw an advertisement in a Russian newspaper for Bible Basics, and I wrote off to Duncan for a copy of this literature, which I actually received. I studied the lessons. It all made sense. And I suppose I started to join the dots together and see that, yes, God exists. And his existence answered the questions I had without fully realizing it. I was invited by Duncan to attend a seminar about the Bible. At the time, I had the impression that church was for old ladies. And some 10 years ago, I didn't feel it would be quite for me. But I did attend and was amazed that there were young people there and a very active and enthusiastic spirit for the things of God. I completed all the lessons of the Bible course, and then Duncan suggested I should be baptized. And so I was baptized, and I never looked back. Now you have asked me to talk about grace, God's undeserved kindness in giving us salvation if we believe, independent of our works. In Russian and Latvian dictionaries issued in Soviet times, this meaning of the word is not even recorded there, for God's existence was just hushed up. Why speak of something that doesn't exist? But the idea of getting something for free, as it were, is foreign to most people. Of course, people can be kind, can be nice, but grace, as it is understood in the Bible, is unknown to them. I suppose that is true of all societies in the world. But I think this understanding of grace was especially foreign to people from the Soviet Union. There was very much the mentality that by hard work, there would be progress and personal advancement. There was a distrust of anything free, the common saying being, for free is cheese in the mousetrap. The motto on every street corner was, from each according to his abilities, to each according to his work. Kindness and generosity are one thing, but God's grace is another, especially that we are sinners. I, like most people, had a conscience that there is acceptable and unacceptable behavior within society. But the idea of sinning against a personal God, and that he can forgive you and give you eternal life in his kingdom, these ideas were quite foreign to people living under atheism and the materialist mindset. I suppose that forgiveness is one key to understanding grace. Soviet regime made people very focused upon themselves, wary of keeping out of trouble, of keeping their thoughts to themselves and not forgiving. I translated the talks given by Brother Steve Gretton about forgiveness, and I found the ideas very helpful in understanding grace. Those talks were a step upwards on the ladder for me. Also helpful to me was translating an article by Duncan about the Good Samaritan. We are the injured man. We are to accept that we are the injured man and to accept the help from Jesus, who is the Good Samaritan in the story. I also found very helpful the idea that we are to take full responsibility for our own sins. Without this, perhaps, grace can't be understood. I think most people, and former Soviet people among them, consider themselves basically good. The fault is always with the others. That God could come into your life and forgive you and save you as he saved me, it seems, when I was swimming as a teenager. This was very hard to take on board. It is still difficult, I think, for many people in the former Soviet Union. Probably it is hard for all people, wherever they are on earth. It is hard to forgive people without their repentance or saying sorry, to let go of others' sins as God has let go of ours. This is very difficult. To forgive is to let go, finally, to overcome resentment. If this were to be done, there would be no tension between Russian and Latvian people. There would be no continual reference by any of us to the past. I have listened to very many talks by Duncan, many more than I can remember, and there is usually a reference to grace. But I am not sure that people understand it. It seems to me people understand grace only by personal experience. It is one thing to read of it or to hear it preached, but we have to see it in order to really understand it and to be motivated to live like that ourselves. As to my personal experience of grace, I believe all people are born with a vague feeling that there is a force above us, whether you are born into a religious or an atheist family. And during your lifetime, God knocks at your door, at the door of your heart. And if you are hard of hearing, he is gracious enough to knock and knock again. I have been an avid reader, and both Latvian and Russian literature and English abound in references to God, quotations from the Bible. That was what made me wish to read the Bible. But as Bibles were not easily available in Soviet times, that wish just lingered. And it was only after my baptism and those references to grace in Duncan's talks that I realized that my wondrous teenage experience was actually God knocking, trying to get through to me. I was once, as a schoolgirl, bathing in the sea. I stood up and raised my eyes to the pines on the shore, to the sand, to the sky, and the colors brightened umpteen times, and I stood gaping at the scene in wonder. After a time, all returned to normal, and the first person I spoke to about it was Duncan. Only after so many years did I realize it for what it was. Our ecclesia in Riga has grown very much because of grace, which leads me to question whether grace can be misused or abused even. For example, when we started providing food at the meetings for the street people and those living in the night shelters, more people attended. It was grace to provide food for those people. The obvious question was, but many of those types of people are in that position from their own fault, their own bad decisions. Our constant fear was, but aren't they just going to use us? I suppose that is a risk. And so I would like to suggest that living with grace involves a risk. On the more personal level, we can forgive someone, but they can misuse that and end up abusing us. But does that mean we don't show grace? In my own life, I see how God was showing me grace from my teenage experience and onwards. In fact, I suppose right from birth, and maybe beyond that even. Before the creation of the world, we were known by God by His grace. I could have not responded to that grace. I could have come to the end of my life without having responded to all the nudges and taps on the shoulder which God gave me. But God wouldn't have been wrong to show me that grace, to have tried with me. So maybe our showing of grace in Riga, in Latvia, everywhere, is a kind of trying, just as God is probably trying with millions of people right at this very moment. And it is also true that there are very many needy people in Latvia this time, and we need to try to help them. There is money, but only with very few. And there are people, especially the elderly, and those without families to support them, who are not cared for very well by the state. And pensions for many people and things like child support are really very small. Child support is for example, only about 8 lats per month. Some of those who live in the night shelters get 7 lats a month. You can't live on this. So, as I say, on a more simple level, grace means being gracious to others without even hoping for a response. I know that there are hundreds of people, literally hundreds in Riga, who have been deeply affected by your grace in supporting the work being done. I want to thank you on their behalf and on my own behalf for showing me the right understanding of grace and the hope of eternal life in the kingdom, which you have shown me. That somebody by grace put an advertisement in a newspaper, that God by grace led me to notice it and respond, that someone organized a seminar and Bible schools, that God by His grace has promised to save me. From all my heart, thank you so very much. Thank God and thank you.